Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to the Rebel Informant. It's Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here after this. It's a cover, is what it was. A 30-14 win over South Carolina in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. A cold Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, by the way. The calendar most certainly turned to November, and the weather reminded you of that on Saturday. But so glad that you guys are here. Really appreciate you. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And wherever you get your podcast, again, just, you know, subscribe. Did I say that twice? That's okay. It's a long night. It's been a long day. It's actually supposed to be 10 o'clock, but we moved the clocks back. So I'm beat. And so I'm repeating myself, and that's okay. Cause we're here to talk football. Just subscribe wherever you're watching, however you're watching. And let's get into it. Before we get into the box score, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven, exit 40 in Brookhaven, right off of exit 40, or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's where you can check out their online inventory. You don't need to live in the area to get a great car buying experience. You will get one of those at Toyota of Brookhaven. You'll also get $1,000 off the top on me, $1,000 off on me on any in-stock new Toyota. Because they'll take care of you. One of the highest rated service departments in the state. Great in-house financing and interest rates and more. Check them out, Toyota of Brookhaven. So you guys know the drill. Quick box score house cleaning is what we call it. 30-14, the final score. Rough night for Trinidad Chambliss, to be honest with you. We'll get to that those thoughts in a second. But 12 of 21 for 160 yards, a touchdown, and a very bad interception. Kewon Lacy, the star of the night, 24 carries, 167 yards. That is 7 yards per carry and a touchdown. Trinidad also added 60 yards himself and a touchdown. Deuce Alexander led the team in receiving, but, I mean, there wasn't much to speak of there. He had 2 catches for 52. Daquan Wright had 2 for 32 and a touchdown. Jason Stribling had a pair of catches for 30. Trey Wallace had a pair of catches for 28. Caden Lee had just 1 catch for 10 yards. And then Kewon Lacy, a handful out of the backfield. Lenora Sellers, frankly, guys, was awful. His poor play was in part because he was under duress for a large portion of it. But, man, so many times did he have open receivers, and he just missed him. I guess there's NFL first-round pick potential with him. That's what people say anyway. I will tell you right now, if the Saints draft Lenora Sellers, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself as a Saints fan. That guy is not ready to play quarterback in the NFL. I know he's big. I know he's physical. And, I mean, that touchdown pass was a beauty, right? But he is wildly inconsistent and not accurate throwing the football consistently. He's got a lot of work to do if he's going to play at the next level. I was not impressed at all with Lenora Sellers. Again, the caveat being that Ole Miss, especially in the second half, was really able to get after him and create some pressure. And if you're a quarterback and you can never get comfortable, that's hard. But, man, he was not good. But 180 yards on 16 of 30, touchdown, 2 interceptions. Ole Miss defensively was awesome against the run. South Carolina had 50 yards rushing. Now, a lot of that is sack-aided, but still. 50 yards on 32 attempts. That's 1.6 per. Again, that's sack aided, but still, South Carolina cannot do much on the ground. There was a period in the second half where they were moving the football a little bit, but that's really about it. The story of the game for Ole Miss, though, was defensively. Centarian Perkins' best game of the season so far. That new role looks good on him. I keep seeing people say that he's had a bad season. He's not had a bad season. His role has changed, and he did things in a lot of different ways for Ole Miss. He got a sack on a spy situation, got an interception in coverage. He was good, but the entire Ole Miss defensive front was absolute hell on South Carolina. 6 sacks for the Ole Miss defense, 6 of them, and a couple of additional tackles for a loss as well. 1 long touchdown pass. Again, that was who was that too? That was Harbor, right? Yeah, 47-yard touchdown pass. Other than that, Ole Miss defensively pretty darn good in this game. They're not perfect. They certainly have flaws, especially in the back end of the defense. There were some open receivers that Sellers missed. They gave up the long touchdown. But Ole Miss is playing better defense the last couple of games. And you saw that, you know, they've played better offenses than the last two that they've played. But I think you guys are seeing it too. The move to Andrew Jones was very beneficial. Prince Will Umanmielen is coming on, finishing plays as well. The whole defensive line, they don't play a lot of guys. I wish that they had more confidence in some others to have a deeper rotation on the defensive line. But it looks better than even in the Washington State game, for example. Or in Lexington, and you know they're getting better, especially up front on defense. We'll get to your comments after I do say this though. So I posted this on Twitter. It was a weird start to the game, and I understand the emotions during a game are up and down, right? People, you know, live and die on every snap, and that's what, you know, that's what we love, right? The passion of college football is unmatched. But early in the game, things just didn't go right for Ole Miss. Offensively, things were kind of clunky. Trinidad was just off. He admitted that after the game, and so did Lane. He was just off. And he's not a particularly consistent passer anyway, but he was especially off last night. I thought South Carolina had a really nice plan. I didn't see all that many open receivers for Ole Miss, but quarterback just didn't have his best night, and they had a bad turnover early in the game. Just – it was a rough start, but at no point in that game did I think Ole Miss was not in control of that game. Even when South Carolina cut it to 3 in the third quarter, there was never a moment watching it where I thought they're in danger of losing this game. Now, I know South Carolina's not a particularly good team. Defensively, though, I think they had a good plan, and they've been good really all season. They shut down that Alabama offense just last week. But what I liked about that game is, you know, it was a little cold, right? And things got weird early. You had that bad turnover there. Trey Wallace just not catching a punt, basically gifting South Carolina a touchdown. Trinidad was struggling. Offense was spotty. And they just kind of dialed it back, were really conservative, ran the football, played good defense, and just kind of took control of a game where they did not have their best. Ole Miss was not anywhere close to their best on Saturday night. They weathered a weird start, settled in, ran the football, played good defense, got after the quarterback, and they won a game by 16 points to move to 8-1 on the season. It is quite remarkable how far this program has come under Lane Kiffin to have that be how that game went, because it very easily could have gotten really weird for Ole Miss last night. You see it in college football all the time. Weird starts turn into weird games. Weird start last night turned into a comfortable, rather dominating performance. You get an explosive play from Lacey, and you're just sacking Sellers on every other play, it felt like, in the second half, and you comfortably won a football game. Now you can, you know, get right, even though they don't really need to get right, but you have a week where you can play a lot of guys against the Citadel and then get right back up for what is probably going to be a very bizarre game in 2 weeks with Florida. But I was actually impressed that Ole Miss won the way they did last night because they did not have their A game. Their quarterback was off, truly off, had a bad turnover and had a bad interception in there as well. And they just locked in, settled in, and kept control of the game, did not panic, and just comfortably won a game to move to 8-1 on the season. That was an impressive win. Not a good South Carolina team, but the way that they went about that win, especially when you look around college football every week, every year, that game was ripe for an upset. Ole Miss just didn't allow that to be one. Shout out to Kewon Lacey in particular. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. If you're a business anywhere in the state of Mississippi and you need office technology, anything from copiers and printers, mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, tech in the office, absms.com. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Going to be a bit of a shorter stream tonight. To be honest with you guys, it was really cold, and I think I'm getting sick, so I got to protect myself. But anyway, appreciate you being here. Let's do it. Well, it happened. Freeze didn't even coach three full seasons, 6-16 in SEC play, 5-19 overall. Now three different buyouts Auburn is paying. What is it? Three coaches in 7 years and $53 million in buyouts being paid by Auburn. What if what I've been saying to you guys and what a few other people have been saying, but my business has not caught up to this yet. Maybe, just maybe, the playing field is being leveled to some degree in what once was doesn't mean it is presently. How much more evidence do we need to prove that what once was is not what always is? How much more evidence do we need than this right here? But yeah, this is always the inevitable end. Yeah, this was. Everybody should have seen the Hugh Freeze and Auburn marriage ending ugly. Everybody should have seen it. A lot of the things that happened this offseason should have told you that this was the approach. We've talked about it a lot. This idea that he's a quarterback guru was always a fallacy. It never made sense. They panic hired Hugh Freeze after Lane Kiffin told them no. They should have never hired him. And this was the inevitable end. Nobody should have thought that this was not going to be the outcome. He was never going to meet their expectations. He's not good anymore. He's just simply not good anymore. But boy, are they close. Keep repeating that. Thought before the year he would get fired after Vandy, but wow, that game last night was the bottom of the barrel. It was absolutely horrendous. Horrendous. Don't forget, hand-picked Jackson Arnold, paid him a whole lot of money to go there. Hey, remember the offseason narratives, though? Now he's got his guy. Now it was all Peyton Thorne's fault. Now he's got his guy, and now they're going to take off offensively. Yeah, Sure they are. Andrew Jones has been a baller. Does make you wonder, why the hell has he not seen the field until now? Sellers was horrible, couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. Yeah, very bad. Hope you and your family had a good time. The game atmosphere was really great, although the in-game music and pre-game videos music is a mess. They had it good, then screwed it up for no reason. Yeah, I don't understand. Why'd they go away with lock? Like, why is the lock the vault thing early? Why is that so early? I don't quite understand the stadium intro. It's clunky. They got to figure that out. But yeah, man, I was really impressed with the crowd. Especially because it got really cold there. It was a beautiful day, and everybody should have known that it was going to get cold at night, but I think it got colder than a lot of people were expecting. We had a great day, man. We saw it all. We ate at Ajax, walked through the Grove, saw the band play. And, you know, we did all that stuff, and somebody had a great, great, great time. And the stuff that they do between the third and fourth quarter is really cool as well. It's come a long way. It is, and fan behavior has come a long way. It still could be better. Like, there's still room for improvement, but it's come a long way. There's no doubt. The atmosphere is so much better than it used to be. No way they could keep Freeze after that performance. Absolutely not. It was done. It was done last night. It was done before last night, if you want to be quite honest. When John Cohen gave the quotes that he gave publicly, you know that the wheels were spinning privately. So last night was just a formality. It was a matter of when and not a matter of if. And the second he walked off the field against Kentucky, he was no longer the head football coach at Auburn. I appreciate that. Yeah, again, that third quarter thing, that was his favorite. No, Brandon, I'm not going to talk about that if that's okay with you tonight. I'm not going to talk about we're going to talk about the game tonight. don't see a first-round pick in Sellers. Even when they protected him, he was inaccurate. Exactly. I mean, you can't be that inaccurate and make it in the NFL. We've seen it before. I don't care how big and physical you are. If you can't throw the ball accurately, you're not going to play at that level. I tweeted this today, Mason. Man, Hugh Freeze won a lot more games at Ole Miss than he did at Auburn. You want to push a narrative, guys. There's the narrative you push. Boy, I had to mute the conversation. That's my favorite thing to do now on Twitter is you mute the conversation. And I assume there's some Auburn people in there just kind of tweeting into the wind about that that I put out there. Let me see if I can. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some tweeting into the wind about that one. Anyway, look, do you like the Ole Miss defense or like Ole Miss on offense was playing to protect itself with Trinidad having an off game? Carniero is just an automatic 3 points, which is a comfort. Yeah, they admitted as much after the game, too, is look, he was off. And so instead of trying to force a square peg into the round hole, into a round hole, just keep running the football. You know you're not getting scored on. Just be in control of the game. And they did just that. South Carolina offensive line allowed a sack on a two-man rush. Yikes, yeah, they were awful. We talked about that going in. Already knew Kewon Lacy was a great back, but last night was a well-deserved career night. Finally broke a long run. And what a great juke in the hole, by the way. South Carolina had that, like, schemed correctly. And Kewon just made a miss and then, boom, took off, and that was it. It was a just super impressive night for him. He is a very, very impressive running back, and he has been. And you're right. It was about time that he got to have one of those games, you know, on ESPN where people can really see what Ole Miss has at running back. Seems like Trinidad play is falling off. He needs to pick it up down the stretch. With all due respect, man, did you see them? Did you see Oklahoma play on Saturday? Did you see what he did in Athens a week before? Ole Miss scored in the 30s in Athens and in Norman before last night. And we're going to talk about his play falling off. He is inconsistent. He's certainly not perfect, but you don't do what he was able to do in Norman. I mean, here, I'll pull it up right now. That Tennessee offense was absolutely humming. I think Aguilar had a good game. Oklahoma picked him off a good bit. But he went up to Norman and scored the way they did. I just don't think that you can get there yet. But, hey, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You think Sellers is great? The South Carolina just has a god-awful offensive line. South Carolina also wanted the smoke on the field in the third quarter, and it only fired the fans up, which led to back-to-back sacks. Yeah. Trinidad has a couple of bad throws early, and Kiffin immediately changes the game plan and takes the air out of the ball. Glad they won, but you have to trust Trinidad in these situations. Yeah, but that interception was – that was a really bad decision, too. I mean, just – so I get why they did it, and it worked. I mean, we have the benefit of hindsight, but that decision worked. Just keep the ball on the ground. Kewon will get it done. Defense will get stops. It'll be fine. The students with their belts off doing the BTA was hilarious. I told you could hear it across the stadium and on the broadcast. Yeah, you could hear it through the broadcast. That is so funny. And what I love about that is like just organic out of nowhere. And now that needs to be a thing every time. Do it in basketball too. Absolutely do it in basketball. When whoever is dribbling out the final seconds of a dominating basketball win, take your belts off and do the belt to rear end thing. That was so funny. And Kewon Lacy, like taking a belt, I guess he never gave it back. I don't know, but yeah. Credit to Ole Miss's defense, only one long play given up. Beside that, complete domination. Centurion Perkins in particular had a great night. He was all over the field. What time do you think the Florida game will be? I have no idea, but we'll talk about it tomorrow. I think I'd, I may or may not go live after the basketball game tomorrow. We'll have to see. I think I might, though, just for the hell of it. I mean, this is should be a very exciting basketball season with a team that has a lot of potential. And so I think I might just go all in, even in these non-conference games with you guys. South Carolina did not drive the length of the field the entire game. They did not. And that's why it was easier for them to kind of dial it back, right? Is that they did not think South Carolina was going to be able to consistently score. Said before the game, give Keywan about 32 touches and they'll be good. He got 27. Yeah, and give him 2 on Saturday. Give Logan Diggs the rock all game long. Get Mills Knight in the game. Get Damian Taylor. Like, Keywan does not need to play much in this game Saturday. Yeah, I mean, you want the guys to maintain a rhythm. You don't want to give everybody the day off, but man, not much. And be smart with them and play a bunch of guys on Saturday. Carolina's going to be 3-7 after the A&M game. Beamer has to be feeling the pressure, right? His body language is so bad. It's horrible. And his team responds in that way. I've been on that for years. They rematch at Georgia, play on a neutral field. Ole Miss would win easily if the defense played like they did against Oklahoma. The thing is, Ole Miss needs a lot of help to get to Atlanta. But I'm different than some people. I know some people value the SEC championship, and I don't think you're wrong for valuing that. There's nothing wrong with that. I would just, if you gave me the choice, a playoff game in Oxford, to me, is greater than playing in the SEC championship with the possibility of losing. Because then you have to play an extra game. And even if you win the SEC, that's a big deal. You know, I'm not going to downplay that at all. But the game's not at home. Your playoff game, it's a neutral site. Defense is playing like the Toon Squad. You would think Jordan was on the defensive line. Maybe Kiffin should put Austin in at the goal line to see over the big offensive line. Yeah, that worked really well last week. Not so much. The fact that Ole Miss didn't play great on offense and still scored 30 points was a good sign. And against a defense that has held everybody they've played in check this year. Now, I think the Q word's really going to start coming up with South Carolina. But Citadel game comes at a good time. Need to get Chambliss and the offense back on track and in rhythm. Yeah, I do think that that'll be good for him in particular. After a rough day, to just really sling it around very comfortably against a team that has no business being on the field with you. Played complimentary football. South Carolina tackled in space very well. Very well. My gosh, there were a few runs because we were behind. We were in the end zone. And, man, there were a couple of times where Keywan was, I mean, this close to breaking like 6 or 7 of those long runs. And just great. Tacklers in space that prevented that, but he finally got one, and then boom. Way they called the game yesterday told me they didn't think South Carolina could score. Yep. Would like to see Austin play against the Citadel to get some reps. I assume you'll see him. After seeing them in person, that was the best Realtree uniform combo. Without a doubt, that was the best one. Wide receivers are underutilized, may affect the transfer portal. That underutilized in what way? I mean, again, yesterday, they did not throw the football well or a lot after a rough start. But right now, you have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have 5 receivers for Ole Miss with at least 20 receptions. You have 6 receivers that have at least 200 yards receiving. 5 with at least 360 yards receiving, and 4 of them with over 400 yards receiving. That pass distribution with 3 games left is pretty substantial, I think. It's that this team in particular has not leaned on like one alpha to just get the football to 1,000 times. But this reception distribution, I mean, you can sell this to a receiver. I mean, to me, this is a selling point. Look at how many, and especially as you were trying to transition away from one quarterback to another, to have that, I think is actually a good thing. Maybe I'm not looking at it correctly. Almost got a lot of help nationally yesterday. Oklahoma won and the ACC melted down. Yeah, the ACC should be a one big league. I hope that takes care of itself because the league does not deserve more than one. Wanted to see Washington State, South Carolina. Kind of feel like South Carolina would win that game if they were at their best anyway. Thoughts on Mississippi State, both right now and in 4 weeks. They stole that game for sure, and Arkansas is going to go 2-10. Now that State got that win, the Egg Bowl is it'll feel a little bit more intense because it could be twofold, right? Eliminate Ole Miss from the playoffs and also get themselves back into the postseason. That was an important win, but this quarterback thing is, I don't know if it's tenable with how they approached it yesterday. The balancing act is going to be interesting to see moving forward. They got two really difficult tests upcoming too. You're glad that they don't have Beamer as their coach. He coaches so emotional. It never seems like he's in full control. Exactly. Ole Miss gets 2 weeks to prepare for each of their next two SEC opponents. Yeah. Stop running the ball up the middle over and over. Be creative, for goodness sakes. You saw the reason why. I'm telling you, I was sitting in the crowd thinking the same thing. But you saw why they expected Lacey's breakout run to happen, probably earlier. Agreed on Centurion Perkins' new role on the defense. He's a beast and should be used more in schemes. And that's what's best for him at the next level, too. It's twofold. You're helping your football team out because, look, you've got Perkins' sack totals in part were because of how elite the defensive line around him was. They're very good this year. They're not elite like last year's was. And so him just going rush at the tackle would not have worked this season the way it did last season anyway. But anyway. I'm going to go a little rapid fire here, if that's okay, guys. So I'm going to try to read as many as I can, just as fast as I can. Georgia-Florida went close to how you thought with some questionable officiating. Do you think it was a catch? I think it was. I don't think it should have been overturned. Did we have a good time? We had a great time, man. It's just – I've been to, I think, 40 different – game days. I think 40 different ones, 40 different campuses on game day is how I should word that. You got, if you guys have not traveled much in college football, I don't think a lot of Ole Miss people realize how lucky you have it with how everything goes on game day from start to finish. Not just in the stadium. I mean, like the whole thing. Thanks to Lacey. He's a good dude. Yeah, no question. I wish I could have seen you, Hunter, but appreciate you looking out. Did I see enough from Kamario Taylor that he's going to be a star? And also, how dumb was Lebby's decision pulling him? And do you think State wins with Taylor at quarterback? I mean, Shapen is kind of why they won, right? I don't know. I mean, it was a risky decision that paid off. Taylor is certainly athletic, but I think you kind of saw Lebby's hesitation. He's a little bit inconsistent throwing the football, but so is Shapen. Lebby has backed himself now into a corner where, like, every decision he made yesterday felt like the right one and the wrong one simultaneously. I don't know if you can do this again. You can't do this and beat Georgia. You have got to pick one because wishy-washy with quarterbacks is not beating Georgia. Not happening. Not a singular moment where Ole Miss felt like it was in danger, including the lull in the third quarter. Yeah. Sucks what Disney is doing with YouTube TV right now. It's awful. And I'm so glad that people have woken up to that it's Disney's fault and it's extortion. And you guys, the fans, are getting treated the worst as always. Vanderbilt and Pavia acted like a bunch of sore losers in their game versus Texas. How about that? Calling the two-point conversion good when in no way, shape, or form was it good, and upon replay upholding the call even though it wasn't correct? That was bizarre. You knew South Carolina had no juice left after that game with Alabama. Defensively, they did. Ole Miss could have a portal haul next year like no other. Kiffin would raid Auburn, LSU, etc. if he stays. Yes, he would. Looked like the team and Kiffin were having a blast beating South Carolina. Love the energy. Look, I know that the Florida thing is out there. And I know, I mean, he's going to hear them out. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, and it was discussed over the week. He's going to hear them out and see what they have to offer. Florida's going to be very aggressive with their pursuit of him. It makes sense. Watching him in his demeanor, although his Twitter behavior tonight was bizarre. Just stop tweeting, dude. But his demeanor is not that of somebody that is checked out of where his feet are. Maybe that changes, but that is not what his demeanor has been so far. 4 weeks in a row now with four big-name coaches fired. Does the streak continue next week? And who do you think the next guy is fired at any point this season? Shane Beamer, I would be my bet. But they might stick with him because of how insane the cycle has gotten. Freeze got fired all because he didn't want to pay for a quarterback. He paid multiple millions for Jackson Arnold. So, yeah, see, and that's the thing, Will. The YouTube TV Sunday ticket thing is, for NFL fans, you got YouTube TV just to get Sunday ticket, and now you're stuck. So you have to go buy something else now. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's extortion is what it is. It's extorting you guys and their direct competitors, knowing that you're not going to change your habits at this point in life. You love your football and you want it, and so you're going to do whatever it takes to get it. Remind you to cancel Fubo at the end of the season. Publicity about Kiffin leaving will get more high-profile players to Ole Miss when he stays. It could. I don't think it's that deep, though. People are like, oh, this is this covert thing. I think he's just going to listen to – But now what's happening with him, though, this interesting thing going on is, even though Nebraska giving Matt Rhule what they gave him makes no sense, especially doing that after they got beat badly by Minnesota, and now they've lost again. But three coaches now have publicly denied open jobs and signed new contracts in season. So that there's more precedent of that happening earlier. Wonder if that has Ole Miss being a little bit more pushy than you would otherwise. We'll see. State was handed a win on a silver platter Saturday. Until they get another one, I'm still considering them winless in conference life. Well, they got a win. It happens. You like Shane Beamer, but he acts so whiny all game long. Kiffin's comments on next Saturday's game against the Citadel are weird. It's like he's trying to play into the whole bad crowd thing, which hasn't been true in Oxford. What's his deal? It's obnoxious. I don't like it. I can't stand it. Talking about how there's no reason to not go to the game. I mean, maybe the fans are just listening to other offers about what they should do on Saturday. If you're listening to other offers about what you should do coming up, what's wrong with the fans listening to other offers about what they should do coming up? It's the Citadel, man. It's the Citadel. There's plenty of reasons not to go to the Citadel. Not everybody's making – hold on. This is before the gigantic new raise that he's about to get. All right. Not everybody's making $190,000 a week. There's plenty of reasons to not go to the Citadel game. Is 10-2 now the magic number? It possibly is if people keep losing. Just get to 11 and everything else takes care of itself. Free saw the writing on the wall in the spring, knew they would suck. That's why he spent all summer golfing. See, that's the thing. Coaches play golf all summer. His dumb you-know-what was just posting it in the handicap system. Feels like if Lane truly loves Ole Miss, that he would at least let Keith know if he's not staying so he can start a discreet coaching search. I'm here to tell you, Keith Carter does not need the go-ahead from Lane Kiffin to be prepared for what happens if he leaves. I promise you Ole Miss is prepared one way or another. And that is not an indication of something. But Keith Carter is smart. I promise you, this does not mean that they know what a decision is or if one's been made or whatever. I promise you they are prepared in the event that they need to conduct a coaching search. They're already prepared for that, I promise. They need to finish 11-1. Don't like the idea of losing either of the final two games. Oklahoma winning did help that 10-2 number, but exactly. Just win 11 games and move on. Your section didn't sit the whole game. Electric atmosphere for sure. Notre Dame need to lose another game. Yes, that would help as well. Fear a loss in either of the last two games would be disastrous for Lane Kiffin in particular. It would, and then it would really make the coaching stuff really weird and obnoxious very fast. I think they should wear the real tree again next week with the Navies. I think, aren't they only allowed to hire or wear them once? Auburn hiring Jimbo Fisher. Yeah, his picture and name being on the hot boards is just very... It's a strong spotlight on what the sports college football mediascape has become in particular. D is very good when they bring pressure. Don't ever want to see that D they ran against Georgia again. Yeah, Centurion was very impactful. All over the field, too. You tell the difference between Ole Miss's offense and Tennessee's with how they fared against Oklahoma. Yeah, and Aguilar didn't protect the football. Trinidad did last week. It's probably the difference in the win and the loss. Bo, I don't think it's good that State beat Arkansas. I think you wanted them to be 4-7 going into that game, just completely lifeless. This injects life back into them a little bit. Biggest improvement has been on the offensive line, so much better, especially in pass pro. Wasn't a banner night for them last night, though. Hope the Florida game is 2:30. That's the best. Yes, I agree. The sun setting over the Vaught is when it looks the best, in my opinion. Why didn't they throw the ball over the middle? I think they didn't, quote-unquote, abandon the pass, but when Trinidad got off to a rough start, they just decided to run the football, and that was it. Almost will be 9-1, which will be their best record at that point in the season since the 60s. 8-1's been their best under Kiffin now three times. Pretty amazing, right? But, hey, you can't win at Ole Miss. So what happens from here on out is entirely his fault or to his credit. But you can't blame the job he's got anymore. It's far gone. How funny was it that they ran the fake punt on South Carolina? Yeah. I did think about last year's game like you when I saw that. Imagine telling Ole Miss fans they'd be here after the Jeremiah Masoli year. Would not have believed you. Would not have believed you at all. Hope they pack out the Vaught Saturday and send a message. It won't be, I don't think it'll be 64,000 packed, but I bet the crowd will be better than you would expect for the Citadel in November. Yeah, Austin, I hate it too. I don't even want to talk about the coaching stuff right now. I don't think it's fair to you guys. So I hate that I'm even, bringing it up. SEC championship game isn't an extra playoff game. It is a playoff game, but if you lose, you get another chance. If you win, you get a week off. But that's the thing, David. If you lose, you have to play an extra game. It is an extra game. If you go to the SEC championship and you lose, you have to play an extra game. If you go and win, you get a bye. If you don't go at all, but you're in the playoff, you don't play on championship Saturday. So it is an extra game. Purely going off of Lane's behavior at the game, it looks like a guy who isn't going anywhere. Yeah, his sideline demeanor is definitely not a guy that's checked out. It looks to me like he is very locked in at the task at hand. Maybe that changes, but so far, the way that this has been handled, except for the tweets tonight are annoying, man. What are you doing? You know what you're doing. You've got a coach that likes, that's how he is. It's who you hired. It's who your coach is. Whatever. But that's what that is. But the way the team has played and how they're talking about things and stuff, so far it's going well. Does Vanderbilt have a chance still to make the playoff? I don't think so. Kind of glad Oklahoma won. You wanted Oklahoma to win. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Appreciate you, Preston. Good to see you, man. I hope you're doing well. Yeah, we were in the car and somebody passed out right away. I was thinking about going live in the car, but again, somebody passed out immediately. Last night's crowd was really good, though I think the Florida game will be closer to LSU. Yeah, that'll be a weird environment too. Probably in a good way. Have successfully turned your fiance into a full-blown rebel. Love going to games with her like you did last night. Now she asks about Lane coaching situation. Oh, no. Well, now it infiltrated your house. Florida is a must-win. I think both of them are a must-win if you want. I mean, you don't even want to get into the 10-2 weeds, man. You don't want to do it. There will be teams with better strength of schedules in the 10-2 weeds that you don't want to get into. Almost every other coach in these coaching searches has lost an absolute stinker, except Kiffin. Well, knock on wood, Edward. What are you doing? Seemed like Ole Miss was doing what they wanted on the ground, then all of a sudden decided to start going to the Hail Mary last night. Auburn's first call should be to Dan Mullen. Auburn's first call should be to John Summerall, in my opinion, but only my opinion. I don't know if Mullen, even in this era, is still right for the SEC. Maybe a place like Arkansas. If I were him, I'd wait for Wisconsin or a job like that to open. That fits him well. Florida fans are under the impression he will sign an MOU with them before the playoffs. No way in hell. So I saw that. I saw a lot of that. If I were Florida, I would be asking for that. I would try. And if that were to happen, it would get out and you do not let him coach the playoff. I would be firm on that. And I would, regardless of if that happens, I'm not saying it will. If what the Florida people think is going to happen happens, it will leak. You will find out he does not coach the playoff. Nope. Absolutely not. You let Pete do it and you don't let him coach the playoff. You send him on his way if that does happen. I would be surprised, and I've been surprised before, I would be surprised that anything would be signed before the playoffs begin. You work as hard as you do to get a program to a place where you're finally in the playoff. And once you get to a playoff, man, all bets are off, right? Allowing something like that to disrupt everything would be just a really stupid thing to do. It would be childish. Now, we are talking about Lane Kiffin, that there has been bad decisions made before, but I would be surprised at that one. That would be a really, really, really bad decision to make for a lot of reasons. But we'll see. Nebraska still hasn't been a ranked team since 2016. Yeah. -1 and 10-2 is likely the difference in winning a first-round playoff game. Very possible, especially since it would be at home. Would be awesome to have some clarity on Lane's future before the Florida game. I don't know if you'll get it. I think you might, but I don't know if you will. But there's a line of thinking that you might get some. Florida will need some type of answer soon. Don't really think that, yeah. We'll do this some other time, though. No, but Brandon, I have no idea. I don't feel good about it. I don't feel bad about it. I have no idea how I feel about it. As I've told you guys before, we're talking about a team with the opportunity to not only make but host a playoff game. I just, part of me thinks that it's getting your priorities out of order to talk about one thing as if it's happening before the other. You know, we're out of order when we have that conversation, and maybe I just need to lead the crusade to stop. Again, I would be shocked beyond measure if anything was signed right now, one way or the other. I could be wrong. I just that doesn't track with how these things go. But Anyway, in the college football playoff, would they get a home game? It depends on their seed, but it's certainly possible. And again, the format has changed, so the 1-4 seeds do not have to be conference champions anymore. So I guess in theory, they could play their way into that. But if they finish 11-1, they're either getting a bye or they are hosting if they finish 11-1. But anyway, but yeah, you're exactly right. Because of the opponent this weekend, it'll be way easier for people to talk about that than the actual games. But I got to run, guys. I think we might go live tomorrow. I think we might. Just basketball season, celebrate the start of that. So I'll see you then. Plan on that for now. And if only a few of you show up, only a few of you show up. But I think I might do that. I'll let you know. Just have the notification bell on and you'll see it. So I appreciate you guys, and I'll possibly see you tomorrow.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.